Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 3. Brethren, to Abraham were the promises made, and to his seed. He saith not unto his seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, that the testament which was confirmed by God, the law which was made about 430 years, doth not annul, so as to make void the promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then was the law? It was set up because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom he made the promise. Being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, now a mediator is not of one, but a God is one. Was the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given by which could give life, verily justice should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain town, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Whom when he saw, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was made clean, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean, and where are the 9? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And this was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean, and where are the 9? Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you about a battle and a victorious and most grateful general. The battle was the Battle of New Orleans, which was fought on January the 8th in the year 1815. The general was Andrew Jackson, the future President of the United States. It was in December of the year 1814 that Andrew Jackson arrived in the city of New Orleans with 5,000 volunteer soldiers. He was ordered to go there to defend the city against the British. For you see, at this time, America was again at war with Great Britain. In history, it is called the War of 1812. The United States Congress, at the request of President James Madison, declared war on Great Britain in the year 1812. And they did this in order to protect our country and prevent the British from confiscating American commerce ships and even seizing American citizens and conscripting them into the British Army. But at the end of the year 1814, it had become known that the British had assembled a large force to take New Orleans, in order to gain access to the entire Mississippi River Valley. When Andrew Jackson arrived in the city, he found it virtually defenseless. Towards the end of December, 50 British warships carrying over 8,000 soldiers appeared in the Gulf of Mexico. The English force was under the expert command of the veteran general Sir Edward Pakenham, who had recently fought with great success against France in the Napoleonic Wars. And after a number of skirmishes with the American defenders during late December and the early days of January, according to a certain historian, the British general felt that the battle for New Orleans would be easily won. Word of the impending doom of the city quickly spread. But although outnumbered and outgunned, Andrew Jackson would not surrender. But rather, as one author wrote, he hastily planned a desperate defense. And among his many preparations was to send one of his officers, his personal aide, to the Ursuline Convent of Sisters in the city with a message. The message delivered was this: General Andrew Jackson urgently requests the most fervent prayers of your community in our present dire need. The sisters, becoming aware of the decisive battle about to take place, began at once to offer fervent and continual prayers to the Mother of God, whom sacred scripture compares to an army set in battle array. They earnestly implored Our Lady that she would obtain from her divine Son victory for Andrew Jackson and for the United States of America. In the morning of January the 8th, 1815, the British assault on New Orleans began. British General Pakenham's attacking force consisted of about 8,700 soldiers, and included, as one historian tells us, some of the best regiments of the whole British Army. But in 25 minutes, less than a half hour into the battle, the British suffered 2,000 casualties, while the American defenders suffered only 71. And numbered among the British casualties was General Pakenham himself. So that, according to a certain British historian, the British fell like blades of grass beneath the scythe. Shortly after the battle commenced, the British command broke it off and retreated. And at the sound of their retreat, the American soldiers rejoiced in a cry of victory. And at that moment, a messenger boy was sent to the Ursuline sisters. He scurried into the chapel while the sisters were at prayer. And as he did, he began shouting out, "We have won. Thanks be to God. We have won the battle." And at the words of this little boy, the Te Deum, the church's greatest hymn of thanksgiving, was intoned in the midst of tears of joy and gratitude. Even as the sisters continued to offer many prayers and thanksgiving to God and to Our Lady for this victory. According to one writer, everyone had hoped against hope to escape death and destruction. But no one was prepared for the miraculous victory of Our Lady in response to their confident prayers. So glorious and so swift was the victory that Andrew Jackson publicly proclaimed that it was due to the mercy of God. And so grateful was he to the sisters that in the company of his chief officers, he himself went to the Ursuline convent in order to personally offer his heartfelt thanks to the good sisters. "I know it was God," he said to them, "who defeated the British. But it was the prayers," he said, "offered to him in your chapel that obtained this stunning victory." In today's gospel, my dear friends, we see our divine Savior going up to Jerusalem. And while passing through Samaria, he encounters 10 lepers. They had heard of his coming, and so they waited for him along the main road that leads from Galilee through Samaria into Jerusalem. They waited, but they did not approach him. And they did not approach because they were forbidden by the law of Moses to do so. The law of Moses forbade anyone with leprosy to expose themselves publicly. And thus, as the gospel says, they stood off at a distance. But as our Lord passed, they cried out as loud as they could, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And our divine Savior stopped when he heard their prayer. His compassionate heart was moved to mercy. He felt their misery as though it were his own. And thus he sought to alleviate it. "Go," he said, "show yourselves to the priests." And he said this because according to the law of Moses, a leper who was cleansed had to appear before one of the priests in the temple, who would put the blessing of the law upon the cleansing of the leper. But he said this to them while they were still immersed in their leprosy. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." But filled with confidence, they obeyed him. They obeyed him, and they immediately departed for Jerusalem. And as they walked along, our Lord cured their terrible plight. And they discovered that they were now free from their disease. One of them, so filled with gratitude, immediately returned to thank the divine physician. But the others did not. When he came to Christ, he fell down at his feet. As St. Luke puts it, he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And then St. Luke points out, and this was a Samaritan. 9 of the lepers were Jews, the chosen people. One was a Samaritan, an outcast. And yet, St. Luke carefully points out, it was the Samaritan outcast who returned to give thanks. And to this grateful outcast, Christ said, "Were not 10 made clean, and where are the 9? Our Lord concluded by saying to this Samaritan, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." A certain spiritual writer tells us that by these words, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole," our divine Savior forgave this Samaritan man's sins. But this same writer points out he did not forgive the sins of the 9 other Jewish lepers made clean. Their want of gratitude, he writes, deprived them of health of soul. A grace, he says, immeasurably more precious than the health of the body. And how often, my dear friends, this want of gratitude or ingratitude to God has been repeated down through the centuries by those who should be most grateful, by those who are among, as it were, the chosen people, those who have the one true Catholic faith. We have an obligation to express our gratitude for every gift, every blessing given to us by others, or every kindness or every favor shown to us. For every willful and deliberate ingratitude is a sin. When others, such as family, friends, acquaintances, bestow upon us some material gift, or even those unknown to us, strangers, perform some act of kindness and consideration for our good and well-being, we are obliged by the moral virtues of justice and gratitude to express thanks to them in some way. And I would remind parents of their obligation to instruct their children and foster in them the virtuous practice of giving thanks to others for favors and gifts received. Or, as I said, every deliberate ingratitude is a sin. Andrew Jackson, who was not a Catholic, was grateful to the Ursuline sisters for their prayers. He did not put his own expert military knowledge, nor the courage and bravery of his soldiers, as the reason why he won that battle. He acknowledged that the battle was won due to God, and it was one due to God because of the prayers, he said, of those sisters. So grateful was he that it was not enough for him to send an officer to them to express his thanks. He would go and personally offer his profound thanks to them. "I know it was God," he said to them, "who defeated the British. But," he said, "it was the prayers offered to him from your chapel," that is, it was your prayers, "that obtained this stunning victory." If we are obliged, my dear friends, to express thanks to others for favors and gifts received, how much more are we obliged to express our thanks and heartfelt gratitude to God, who has given us and continues to give us more gifts, more blessings, and more favors than anyone. For it is Almighty God who has given us life. He has created our souls out of nothing and infused them into our bodies. He has given us an intellect by which we can know Him and a will by which we can love Him now and for all eternity. And he has loved us so much that he sent his divine Son to redeem us. And our Lord Jesus Christ has, by his passion and death, saved us from the eternal torments of hell and saved us for the eternal joys of heaven. And that we can and that we will save our souls daily does our Lord offer us his graces, those supernatural helps, temporary helps, to help us to love him, graces to help us to pray, graces to help us to practice virtue, and daily graces are offered to us to help us be victorious over temptations and all the assaults of the enemies of our salvation. What thanks we owe to God for these and for the grace and blessing of having the one true Catholic faith in this age of universal apostasy, unbelief, and grave scandal among the clergy in that new church. Grave scandal. What thanks we owe to God that we are not part of that. We have the one true Mass, true, valid Catholic sacraments. We have the means to practice our faith. We have the means to save our souls. What thanks is owed to God and to our divine Savior, Jesus Christ, for these and for the many temporal and material blessings we have, our families, our homes, our health, and the means to live. We must never forget, my dear friends, that every spiritual, material, and temporal blessing is ultimately given to us by God. And for these daily graces and blessings, daily is a prayer of thanks or an act of gratitude owed to God. And even if we should be suffering from loss of bodily health in some way, or if we should be struggling to make a living and provide for ourselves and our families, or if we should have some difficult crosses to bear or suffering and strife to endure, even such things as these ultimately come from God. And by that I mean that they are at least allowed, as it were, by his all-permissive will. They are at least allowed by him. They are allowed by him who, in his infinite wisdom, allows temporal evils to afflict us in order to bring about in us a greater spiritual good and ultimately our eternal salvation. How many times I am asked by people, why does God allow us to suffer? Why is there suffering in this world? The answer is, there is suffering in the world, first of all, because of sin. And secondly, God allows it. God allows it to afflict us for a greater spiritual good for us. And the greatest spiritual good is our eternal salvation. And thus, in times of difficulties and sufferings, we still owe God thanks. For to murmur and to complain is to manifest ingratitude. Please, God, this may never be said of us. May we then never let a day go by, my dear people, in which we do not thank God for his many graces, blessings, and favors, nor allow ourselves to be given to a complaining spirit. May we rather, like the Samaritan in the gospel, be filled with a spirit of gratitude and daily thank God for all he does and all he has done for us. Confident that if we ever strive to keep his commandments of charity and purity, and if we truly love Mary, we honor her and pray to her every day, and if we are truly grateful to God for all his blessings and favors, even the crosses that we all must carry, that is, the various sufferings of life that we all must endure in some way for love of his Sacred Heart, then our good Savior will bless us all the more. And say to us, as he once said to the grateful Samaritan, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.